Well, good morning, good morning, good morning to you. Hey, and a special welcome to those people who, as I see some people have come back from holidays. I hope you had a good time. You've just missed the cold snap that's coming. That's good. You've missed that. That's coming this week. You know, Paulette, my wife was saying last week that she was just saying, hey, look, over there there's about two or three rows full of students from overseas. I think many of you guys are studying from overseas. And so we welcome you guys, and it's great to have you part of our family. Paula and I, we used to have homestay students for about 10 years, so it's quite a long time. And so we met a lot of people from overseas, a lot of good people. You know, we were able to talk to them, some of them, about the Lord. There was one or two rascals, but we sorted them out, sort of. But anyway, it's great to have you guys. And, you know, the Bible talks about going to the nations. Well, these days, the nations are coming to us. And it's all about global now, isn't it? Everything's global. It's awesome. Hey, it's time for giving. So if those people who are taking up the giving, if they could please do that now. And of course, there are different ways which you can give. And Father, we just pray today. We pray, Lord, that as people give today, we know that some people are giving out of hardship. And we just pray, Father, Lord, for your supplying their needs, God, above and beyond, Lord, what they need. We just pray for those people in Jesus' name. We just pray you bless people as they give in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, Pastor Wes, a couple of months ago, said to me, did I want to preach? And I said, yes, I do. And he said, well, do you want to do a back-to-back sermon? And back-to-back basically means that you do two sermons in a row. And I thought, I like the sound of that. And so what that means is I can do my first series at Living Waters ever. This is the first time I've done this, so that's great. So what I'm going to talk about this Sunday and next Sunday, I'm going to be talking about the pathway to the promises. The pathway to the promises. And so let's look at Genesis chapter 12. Verse 1 to 3. It's quite amazing, you know, I do a bit of driving around the city. And it's quite amazing how often you hear those sirens, you know, and how often I've had to pull over because there's somebody race a cop car or an ambulance passing by. Anyway, Genesis 12, verse 1 and 3. Let's read this here. This is our foundational text for the next couple of weeks. And we're also going to look at the life of Abraham. He's our main biblical character. So it reads this from 1 to 3, Genesis 12, 1 to 3. It says, now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country. Everybody say, get out. No, you don't get out. You stay here. And from your father's house to a land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Wow, there's some pretty good things there. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Wow, that's pretty amazing. All the families of the earth. That's an incredible promise that Abraham got. And of course, that's through Christ. That runs through Christ. Here we are because of Abraham, blessed because of this man here. Of course, Christ, but because of this man. And so in these scriptures, God promised Abraham four things: to show him a land, make him a great nation, make his name great, and to bless him. And so God gives us specific promises for each of us, things He will do in our life. And like Abraham, it's more than one promise. And that's why in this message, I will be using the word promises instead of promise. Isn't that great? God just didn't give you, John, one promise. Maybe he gave you 10. I don't know. And so, I want to just do some foundational points first to lay the foundation. And then we're going to get into some nitty-gritty stuff. I believe we're going to get into some prophetic stuff this morning. But let's talk about, thank you, Christine, let's talk about the pathway. Let's talk about the pathway. You see, it took Abraham 25 years for his first son to be born. I mean, oh, that's a long time to wait for your first kid. I mean, some of us would wait a year or two or three or maybe, but 25 years. You see, the pathway to our promises can take years. I'm sorry. If you told me in my 20s, if you said to me in my 20s, I can't even remember your name now. What's your name again? Pete. Boo. If you told me in my 20s that it was going to take me decades for my promises to be fulfilled, I would have spat tax. I would have wanted to cast the demon out of you. Seriously. I would have. Yeah, it's funny, you know, how we do that. Sometimes people say some things as, that's the devil, but actually it's not. But you know, after a while I realized it was a pathway that was going to take some time. The other thing in that Abraham promises, is that Abraham's promises were gradually fulfilled. This is very important. Gradually fulfilled. For example, at the beginning of Abraham, you know, when he left the country, the Bible says he had possessions. Later on, it says that Abraham was very rich in livestock and silver and gold. And then it says that Abraham and Lot had so much possessions that they could not dwell together. Isn't that awesome? And like Abraham, our promises are gradually fulfilled over time. There we go again. You see, sometimes Christians think that their promises are going to suddenly be fulfilled all at once. But often there is a gradual unfolding until we see the total fulfillment. And so in the next couple of messages, we're going to talk about this pathway to the promises. Because it's a pathway. It's a journey. It's not a one-night wonder. It's a precept upon precept and faith upon faith and grace upon grace and experience upon experience and anointing upon anointing. It's a journey. Let's talk about contentment. Oh no, Mark. Seriously? You just talked about promises? Let's talk about contentment. Now, some of you are thinking, well, what's contentment got to do with the promises? Everything. And it's one of the reasons that some people here are not happy. But we're gonna look at that a little bit later, what it has to do with the promises. But first, what is contentment? What is contentment? I'm just going to quickly go over some points that would take me a whole sermon to do. Contentment is great gain. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, we may not have a chance to look at these, that's fine, says, godliness with contentment is great gain. It is great gain. It is beneficial to your life in so many ways. Contentment is a key to joy, peace, and fulfillment. How many want joy? How many want peace? How many want fulfillment? Contentment's the answer. Does that mean that we're always going to be happy and peaceful and fulfilled? No, Let's be real. Come on. Look, Pete. I remembered your name this time. Even Jesus wasn't always happy. What's the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. And I could give you other examples too. But I think there are times where we could have joy, we could have peace, we could have fulfillment if we chose contentment, but instead we chose discontentment. Thank you, Pete. Give that man a lolly after church. Contentment is learned. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Contentment is learned with time. After a while you realize it's the only answer. Contentment is focusing on what we have. Contentment is focusing on what we have. There's a man by the name of Nick, and I hope I pronounce his name right. It's Vujicic. Does anybody know that name? Anyway, is that right? Sounds right. Nick Vujicic. Let's just call him Nick. Anyway, we got a photo of Nick here, and a lot of people, you probably recognize Nick. He's a happy guy. He's an Australian evangelist and motivational speaker. And as you can tell, he was born without limbs. But he doesn't focus on that. He focuses on what he has. He focuses on the fact he's got a great mind. He's got a mouth that can speak. He's got a heart that can love. He's got anointing. He's got a big God. He's got a call of God. He focuses on those things. And that's what contentment is. And he's done some great things, and we'll mention those things in a minute. Contentment is enjoying what we have. Enjoying what we have. Enjoy what God has called you to at the moment. Can I hear an amen? Enjoying the relationships you have now. Enjoying the money you have now. Well, you know, I want some more money. Well, so do I. But enjoy the money you have now, what you can do with that money. And you may have a lot, but how you can give it to the works of God. Enjoy the small business you have at the moment. Well, I want a big business that can support the kingdom of God. What a great vision. But enjoy the little business you have now. Contentment is enjoying what we have. Contentment is doing the best with what we have. Doing the best with what we have. Nick, and I won't say his last name, Nick, he does the best with what he has. Did you know that? Here's some of the things he's done. He has a Bachelor of Commerce with double degree in accounting and finance planning. Wow. He won the Australian Young Citizens Award for bravery and perseverance. Wow. You always say wow after these. It's pretty wow. He was nominated for the Young Australian of the Year Award. Wow. He's an evangelist that has addressed over 3 million people in almost 57 countries. Wow. And this is that's probably 8 years old, this stuff here, so it's probably more. He's an author. He has been on talk shows like 2020. He has a charity organization, Life Without Limbs. And really, I probably should have put this at the beginning, but he has a wife and two kids. Wow. And I understand, if I remember rightly, Nick has a pair of shoes that he's put in his cupboard because believing for a miracle. Wow. You see, sometimes people think that contentment means we don't have goals or vision. But that's not true. We have goals. We have vision. But while we're pursuing those things, we are content with what we are doing now, and we do the best with what we're doing now. A quote says this: the happiest people don't have the best of everything. They just make the best of everything. And I see that in the Philippines. They don't have much, but boy, they make the best of everything. Do we have any Filipinos here today? Oh, come on. I'm going to talk in Tagalog. Magandang hapon. Umaga. If you're a Filipino. Let me apply this to our promises. Some of you are going to see your promises soon, I believe. I'm going to talk about that next year. But some of you... it's going to be a long week. The series, I forgot to tell you, it's... I'm going to talk about that next week. But some of you... others, it's going to take some time. Don't know throwing something at me, but it might take a decade or so. And so, focus on what you have. Enjoy what you have. Do the best with what you have. And the funny thing that will happen is that you will start to see your promises unfold. You know, it's good to look forward to our promises. However, some Christians, they are miserable while waiting. I'm not going to be happy until I get those promises. I've been there. But you know, that's not God's way. What I'm teaching this morning, that's God's way. So, enjoy the path. Enjoy the path. Enjoy the journey. It's going to be a while. Smell the roses along the way. And if you're like me, you don't care about the roses, smell the coffee. Coffee in the morning. Coffee after lunch. Coffee after dinner. And then just a wee sip before bed. Well, maybe not. Wow. So what are we going to talk about next? I tell you what. Let's talk about leaving. Oh, went very quiet. Let's talk about leaving. Leaving. Because there'll be some people here today, you've been thinking about leaving a particular place. You have been talking to people about leaving a place. You have been sensing it's time to leave a place. So I think that we should talk about leaving. So what do I mean by a place? It could be a job. It could be a city or area you live in. It could be an unhealthy relationship. It could be a housing situation. It could be a church. It could be a particular ministry role you are functioning in. It could be a learning institution. It could be a sinful venue of some kind that you are visiting. I just, for whatever reason, I felt to mention that one. It may apply to somebody. Many of those things I mentioned may have been good at one time, but now they no longer are. They may have been God's will at one time, but now they no longer are. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, God said to Abraham, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house." If Abraham had stayed in his country and in his father's house, he would have never seen his promises fulfilled. He had to leave. turn to the person next to you and say, "You gotta leave." That might make some visitors feel very uncomfortable. You've got to leave. You've got to get out. Not visitors. You've got to get out. You've got to leave. I've been in many places where I have sensed it's time for me to move on. I remember in the 90s when some of you perhaps weren't even born, and some of us were. You know you're getting older when you talk about the 90s. And we were in a church in the South Island, Paulette and I, my wife Paulette and I. And we were there for about 10 years. We had some great times. God did some great things in our lives, and we were part of the leadership. We were part of the eldership. But there came a time where I sensed it was time to leave that church. I felt that we were not going to see our promises fulfilled there. And I remember hearing a preacher, and of course back in the 90s you would watch a DVD, you remember those days? And the preacher, he was talking about the prophets and how they said to Elisha, "The place where we dwell is too small, therefore we need to arise and go." And so we packed up our belongings, which didn't take very long. And with our daughter then, we just had one child then, and we moved to a town called Timaru. Is anybody from Timaru? Woohoo! And exciting. And you know, when we went to a church that my brother pastored, and there was a great move of the Holy Spirit. Some of you may have heard about that, and God was doing some really good things. And I remember I was at a meeting, one of the meetings at that church, and somebody laid the hands upon me, and it was like day and night, how it changed. And from then on, for months, I had encounters with God. God was touching my heart, and he was doing things to me. And you know, if somebody who had just a little bit of anointing would come close to me, I'd just begin to shake and rattle. And you know, in those times, was birthed in me a desire for the move of God, the desire for revival. And a new anointing came upon me. And that anointing has grown over those years, and which is so important to me seeing the fulfillment of promises. But you see, Paulette and I moved forward in our promises because we left a place. I feel for some here today, you are in a particular place. I don't know what that place is, but I want to declare to you today, you will not see your promises fulfilled in that place. And the word of the Lord for you today is the same words that God spoke to Abraham: get out, leave. Everybody shout, "You got to get out." Again. Last time. That's the word of the Lord for somebody here today. Out of the mouths of 100+ people. But can I say this? Make sure you leave with wisdom and a good attitude. Too many Christians leave a place with a bad attitude. Leave with wisdom. Leave with a good attitude. Next, let's talk about nothing. It's going to be quite a quiet next 5 or 10 minutes as I talk about nothing. But you know, I'm not going to talk about nothing. I'm going to talk about nothing. Oh, don't worry, you'll get it in a minute. Turn to some. I'm just going to have a glass of water. Just say something nice to somebody. We can't say something awful. You're a Christian and you're in church. Praise the Lord. Nothing. You see, God said to Abraham, you will be a father of many nations. But for 25 years, Abraham and Sarah had no children. Nothing was happening. I mean, nothing. Not even an ounce, not even a bump, nothing. I want to give you 4 points. Very quickly, I'm going to move through these points about just under this thought of nothing. Number one, nothing tests us like when nothing is happening. Nothing tests us like when nothing is happening. When God has promised us something, but nothing is happening. You see, there are times where we work with God to see our promises come about. I've talked about leaving, that's one example. But there are other times when we can do nothing except believe and patiently wait. And that can be hard. Number two, when nothing is happening, we are tempted to do something. When nothing is happening, we are tempted to do something. We gotta do something because nothing's happening. Sarah turns to Abraham and she says, Abe, that's what she called Abraham back in the day. Abe. She says, Abraham, we've been waiting a while for these children and nothing's happening. So I've got a great idea. Why don't you take Hagar and you can have a child with her because nothing's happening. We've got to do something. Moses was up in the mountain and the people of Israel gathered to Aaron and says, hey, this guy Moses, he doesn't look like he's going to come back. And so Aaron says, oh, I got a great idea. Why don't we make a calf? Isn't that a great idea, Pete? Because nothing's happening. We got to do something. God promises Jack a real good job. Jack's excited and he's waiting, but time has passed. And so he's on seek and you shall find. And sometimes you don't, so you have to go to trade me jobs. And he sees a job and, you know, it's not that great and the pay's kind of low. I just kind of feel a bit of check in my heart. But he thinks to myself, I'm going to apply for it. I'm going to press apply because nothing's happening and I've got to do something. God promises Bob a wife. We're going to be here. His name's Bob. I've tried to pick names that don't. Nobody's here. Bob, maybe Robert. A wife. Whoa, he's excited. Woohoo, a wife. A year passes, 2 years passes, 3 years passes. No sign of any wife. He thinks to himself, there's that lady, Ethel. I'm picking names that hopefully nobody has. Hope there's not an Ethel here today. She's kind of cute. She's a nice lady. She's a bit lukewarm in her faith, but I think I'm going to marry her, ask her to marry me, because nothing's happening, and I've got to do something. You getting the picture? With our promises, we must resist the temptation to do something when nothing is happening. Otherwise, we may end up with an Ishmael. Or we may end up with a golden calf. Or we may end up with a job we don't like. Or we may end up with a wife we regret for the rest of our lives. I have a feeling I'm talking to somebody here today. This is not just a nothing message. I'm saying something. There's somebody here. You're tempted to do something, and it's not right. And it could end up being a big disaster. Don't do it. Wait on God's perfect time. And that relates not just to promises of God. It relates to other things too. I know one thing, the time's not doing nothing, it's just ticking along. Amazing, isn't it? It just keeps on moving. Tickety-tock. We just spent 10 seconds of our life right now. When nothing is happening, God is up to something. Woohoo! When nothing is happening, God is up to something. You may not see it with your eyes, but in the background, He is orchestrating things. He is maneuvering. He is preparing for what He's about to do in your life. It's going to happen. Even as a church, there's lows and highs. And in the lows, it seems like not a lot is happening. But under the surface, there is something great happening. There is a well. There is a flow that's down there being dug for God's people. And in the right time, it will emerge and flow in this place and in the places around the world in Jesus' name. Never think that God is not doing nothing. He is always doing something, and the something He do is not small, but it is a great thing that He's doing in your life, and it's a great thing He's doing in this church, and nothing will be turned into something great. Woo! I'm glad I got that out of me. You know, when you got a word from God, just get it out. I got to pause for a minute. I'm tired. What a weak preacher, eh? What a weak preacher. Oh, I said a lot more than I planned. All right. When nothing's happened, God is up to something. Externally, it appeared like nothing was happening with Abraham. For 25 years, there was no child. But internally, in his heart, God was forming a father of many nations. That was what's going inside. And out of those nations would come a nation called Israel. And from Israel would come Christ. And because of Jesus, countless people in the nations would be saved. And we are here today. Yes, most importantly, because of Jesus. But we are here today because a man by the name of Abraham chose to believe that God was up to something when nothing seemed to be happening. If it seems like nothing is happening with your promises, be encouraged. God is up to something. There is a great work of preparation occurring in your heart and life. And number four, lastly, when nothing is happening, doing nothing is not an option. I hope you're not getting too confused with this nothing message. When nothing is happening, doing nothing is not an option. Well, nothing's happening, so I'm going to quit. I'm going to get on Netflix, and I'm going to put down the shades, and I'm just going to get in my wee cave, But don't worry, I'm going to socialize with the believers because I'm going to have Facebook. And I'm just going to look at Facebook, and you know, and I'm just going to have my bag of chips and my Coke because, you know, nothing happening here. So I quit. I'm speaking to somebody here. I know I am. You might pretend like you're not. It's not me he's talking about. I know. There's a story in the Bible. Stop the clocks, Lord. Ooh, stop. There's a story in the Bible where Elijah's praying for rain. And just to make it shorter for the sake of time, servant runs back and forth to check if there's any rain. And he says, there's nothing. Those exact words, there's nothing, there's nothing, nothing. And Elijah seven times said, go again, go again, go again. And they kept going again until there was the cloud and the rain came. Is there nothing happening with your promises? What are you going to do? Are you going to give up? Or are you going to go again? This is what you are in a crossroad to make a decision. Are you going to give up? Or are you going to go again? But the Lord encouraged you today, go again and go again and go again and keep believing and keep waiting and keep doing what you can do at the moment until what you see becomes a reality in your life. I remember one time I was doing a business, trying to start a business, nothing was happening. I threw myself on the bed in defeat. Have you ever done that? Just defeated. And I heard God say to me, go again. And I did, and the business started. There's a wee little lesson for some of the business people here today. Lastly, let's talk about surrender. Let's talk about surrender. Just give me a few more moments. I know we're ticking on with time, but I really need to cover this. It's important. Let's talk about surrender. You remember the 90s we used to sing, refine as fire, my one heart's desire. Thank you, thank you. Is to be holy, set apart. Na-na. And God's like, okay. I'll do that for you. What about the other one? I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Jesus, my prayer. I surrender all. So easy to sing. Another thing to do. Surrender is a very powerful part of the Christian life. Jesus demonstrated in the Garden of Gethsemane. And our pathway to our promises, there will be times of surrender. In Genesis 22, we read of one of Abraham's moments of surrender. God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, the very thing he had promised him. Why did God do that? There must have been something inside of Abraham's heart that needed adjustment. God had to do something inside his heart. And on our pathway to our promises, there will be times when God will ask us to surrender some things. And many times he will ask us to surrender some things, and then later on, he will give them back to us. It's just for a season. He may ask us to surrender our promises. He may ask us to surrender our financial ambitions. Oh, don't talk about money, Mark. I just did. He may ask us to surrender a job. He may ask us to surrender a relationship. But here's the thing, it's not about the money. It's not about the job. It's not about the promise. It's about what God is wanting to do in a heart. It's about the work of God He wants to do in a heart. He's using those things to do something in a heart. And as many of you know, Abraham did not sacrifice his son. But when the test was finished, Abraham was different. There's no doubt about he was different. The Bible doesn't say that, but I have no doubt he was different. And some of you are in a season of surrender. But when this time is over, you're going to be different. I'm telling you. I'm talking from experience. I've had a season of surrender the last few years. I hope it's coming to an end, but you never know with God. You think it's finished, and all of a sudden, I feel different. I feel different. You'll have a wisdom you didn't have before. You'll have a freedom and security that you didn't have before. You will have an anointing that you didn't have before. You have a healed heart that you didn't have before. And you will move forward into your promises like never before. Well, I thought you'd get pretty excited about that. Let me just finish off with this last thought. In March of 2020, how many remember that horrible month? The whole COVID thing happened. It was pretty difficult. For some people, it's more difficult than others. And when that finished, it was like, yahoo, woohoo, it's going to be good now. And then the next few years happened, and for some of us, those years were more difficult than COVID. But I believe the church and many believers have been in a season of surrender. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. You won't get this on Channel 1. You won't get this on Channel 3. When we come out of the season, I believe we're going to see moves of God everywhere. We really are, but we're going to see even greater moves of God everywhere. And many people are going to see the fulfillment of their promises in that day. That's good news. You won't get that on Channel 1. You won't get that on Channel 3. But you'll get it right here. Mark Collins News. Good news. There's a great move of God coming. Well, I've heard it before. Hear it again. Oh, there's nothing happening. Come on now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. God is up to something great. He's preparing you for your promises. Trust Him. Believe Him. And all will come to pass which He has spoken to you in your life. Amen. Stand up on your feet today. Please. The worship team, you can come forward. Thank you, Jesus. Next Sunday, I know you can't wait. Don't you wish today was Sunday again? Next Sunday, we're going to talk about legacy with regard to the promise. We're going to talk about time. And we're going to talk about getting older. We've got to talk about that. As I fastly approach 60, we've got to talk about that. And then we're going to talk about the miracle that is needed for your promise to be fulfilled. Thank you, Jesus. Thus says the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I believe there's a work of God that's been happening with people here today. And before the service, and God is wanting to do something in some hearts. I believe there are people here who are in a struggle with God. Back and forth. It's lasted for months, maybe for a year or two, but there's a struggle. You know, like Jesus at Gethsemane, there was a struggle. And then the end, Jesus says, not my will be done, but yours. He came to a place of surrender. And look what happened. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. And many are saved, and we're here today because of that. You don't know what may happen as you bow the knee to God. He's asking you to surrender, and you say, Lord, I surrender. You don't know what will happen in your life and how it will affect other people around about you and even the generation to come. There's a struggle. But today, it's time to surrender to Him. That whatever it is. And remember, he may give it back to you. But at the moment, it's not about that. It's about what He's doing in here. And shortly, we're going to sing a song. And you may want to surrender to God in your heart where you're sitting. You may want to come forward. Just kneel down here. We're probably not going to pray for anybody. But this is just a moment for some people to do some business with God. And experience the glorious feeling of letting go. The freedom that brings to your life. The joy. Don't leave this auditorium today without letting go. And here's the and trusting God with it. Because He's going to do a better job than we are. Can you say amen? Before we do sing this song, maybe you're not a Christian and there's been a struggle in your life over the last few months or so. God has been saying to you, I want you to surrender your life to me. I want you to give your life to Jesus. I want to encourage you to make that decision today. Make it today, not tomorrow. Give your life to Jesus. And I can almost say, I promise you, if you follow Him and obey Him, you will be in a far better life than you've had before. It will be so much better than what you can trust Jesus today. You can put your trust in Him. You can surrender your life to Jesus today because what He has for you is great. And if you do that this morning, I want to encourage you. There's Wayne and Sally just over here. If you guys could just lift up your hands really high, go see them. Tell them that you've given your life to Jesus. They'll pray for you and they'll talk to you through some things that'll help you. But we're going to sing this song. I believe it's called We Make Room For You. And let's just take this moment just before we finish this morning. Let's do some business with God. As I say, you could do it back in your chair. You come forward, whatever you do. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You, Lord, that Your doing a work in a heart. Sometimes we can't always see it, but you are doing something in our lives, and you are preparing us for some great. You're preparing us for those promises. Now, Lord, as people have had this moment of surrender with you, I pray you would just fill their hearts with joy. I pray, Lord, your people, Lord, today we would leave this place with joy and gladness. For the word of God says, you shall go out with joy, and you shall be led forth with peace. Thank you, Jesus. Well, it's been great sharing with you this morning. And make sure before you leave, you can have a coffee. It is not on the deck, I don't think, because it's freezing temperatures. But it's right over there. Have a coffee. You know I'll be there. And have a great day. God bless. Have a great day. Have a great week.